4. All right, here we go.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise.
Yeah.
Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise.
All right, here we go.
Whoa, let it rise.
Let's do that again.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King
come on
rise among us. Let it rise.
Songs of the Lord.
Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Whoa, let it rise.
One more time.
Whoa, let it rise.
When I'm with my friends. Here we go.
When I'm with my friends, I'm gonna let it shine. When I'm with my friends, I'm gonna let it shine. When I'm with my friends, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, oh yeah.
All right.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
Let it rise.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
And
let the praises of the King
come on
rise among us. Let it rise.
Songs of the Lord. Here we go.
Let the songs of the Lord rise among us.
And let the songs of the Lord rise.
And have a seat. Go ahead and be seated. Well, we are very super excited to have several people from out of state. How many of you are from Tulsa, Oklahoma? There, Tulsa. So great to see you guys. Thanks for driving up, being here. We tried to warm up the weather for you. How about Oklahoma City? Oh, yeah. All right. Very good. Amen. Anybody from Nebraska? Yeah, there they are. All right. Anybody from Jamaica? Oh, okay, no, I guess not. All right. Wait, not that far. We don't have that much influence. Lawrence. There's my Lawrence people. All right. How about Springfield, Missouri? Yeah. We got a couple out here from Springfield. And Rob and his buddy Chris were from Kansas City. Rob Milner and Chris were down here yesterday. Rob had to preach today. You know, that job just gets in the way. So he had to go back and preach to his North region today. But we're very, very excited to have you here. And I am very excited to introduce to you Dave Eastman. I met Dave about 3 years ago, and we immediately hit it off. But most importantly, I'm impressed because he has studied hard, and he has really taken it upon himself to learn what worship is, what it really is, and how we can be renewed in our thinking, in our minds. You know, we have a lot of Church of Christ culture and baggage that we bring along with us. And a lot of it is awesome. A lot of it's great. And yet there are things we must grow in too. And I appreciate the folks here in Wichita, my friends, because we have struggled and wrestled to grow in our worship here in the building. And you know what it's done is it's helped us personally. We have really understood, and we understand, and we are getting closer, not as close as Dave yet, but we're getting closer to understanding worshiping our God and Father in heaven. Those of you that felt free to worship this morning, raising your hands, amen. Feel free to worship. This is worship to our Father in heaven. Yeah. It's about God. It's not about the stage, which is too small. It's not about the audience. And it's not about our awesome sound people. It's about God. All right. So with that in mind, hey, Sam, are we okay? We are okay. You'll know what that means later. All right, that's good. That's good to hear. But let's go ahead and say a prayer together. Then we will stand up and we'll sing another song before Dave comes up and speaks. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you are our rock. You are our foundation. And all things we have come from you. We have to stop, and we have to think a minute. It's so easy to be stuck on this world, to be stuck into what aggravated us, or the car, or even the children, or the spouse. And right now, as we focus on you, it's great to hear silence, because you fill the void. Thank you, Father, that you are a God in heaven, and that we have heaven to look forward to. Mm-hmm. So I ask you, Father, to please help us engage in the worship. Take something back from what Dave shared today. Give everybody a safe drive home, even. Thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand together. Ain't no rock gonna stand in my place.
As
long as I'm alive, glorified by his holy name.
Ain't no rock
gonna stand in my place.
As
long as I'm alive, glorify his holy name. You've got to praise his holy name. As long as I'm alive, to glorify his holy name. You've got to praise his holy name. As long as I'm alive, to glorify his holy name.
Ain't no tree
gonna lift its branches.
I
lift my hands to glorify his holy name. Lift your hands.
Ain't no tree
gonna lift its branches.
I
lift my hands to glorify his holy name. You've got to praise his holy name.
As long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name.
You've got to praise.
You've got to praise his holy name. alive to glorify His holy name. As long as I'm alive to glorify His holy name.
Woo! Please be seated.
It is great to be here today. Thank you so much, those of you who traveled from far and wide, and those of you who are willing to give up your seats to be over in the other room. The advantage you have over in the other room is you don't have to look at my face very much, because we're going to have it up on the screen most of the time. You know, in the churches of Christ, we are really, really blessed with a great heritage of restoration. And if you're visiting with us today, that's kind of what our churches are all about. We're all about trying to get away from tradition and away from, just stuff the way we've always done it, and always continually explore the Bible to find out if what we're doing is right, and if what we're teaching is right, and if what we're believing is right, and the practice of our lives is right. That's kind of the nature of the beast here. In the Wichita Church, as it is where I'm from, in the Chicago Church of Christ. So if you're visiting with us, that's what you can expect from week to week. You can expect a lot of honest Bible study, a lot of digging, a lot of preaching, a lot of worshiping, a lot of stuff that gets us back to the Bible. And so over the years, you know, we've gotten pretty good at this restoration deal. You know, we're good. We've explored New Testament conversion. How were people brought to Christ in the first century? What did they do? What did they believe? When did they do it? How did they do it? And so we've really worked hard to restore that. We've worked hard to restore the new idea of New Testament relationships, the one another way, the kind of involvement that we need to have in each other's lives, in each other's marriages, with each other's families, and the relationships that can be so rich and deep, and we've enjoyed a lot of that. But you know, like any church, the most well-meaning people can get mired down in tradition. And I want to suggest to you that maybe we haven't quite finished the job of restoring New Testament worship in our churches. And so that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about where do we need to go from here in our understanding of restoring New Testament worship, making sure that the things we do, the things we teach, the practices that we enjoy really reflect what the Bible teaches. And so that's what we're going to be talking about here in our time today. We're going to do things a little bit differently today. We're going to have a point. I'll share for about 10 minutes or however long, and then I'll sit down and we'll do some music, and I'll share again, and we'll sort of jump back and forth and as we enjoy our time together. And so the question is, are we finished with the task of restoring biblical worship? Now, I might ask you that at the end, but you know, I'll tell you the answer is no. Okay, but we'll prove that to you as we go through here and as we talk about some more things. Let's turn in our Bibles over to the Old Testament, and we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Psalms today, because if you're thinking about what the first century church did, remember the first century church, they didn't have a nice leather-bound New Testament to carry around. They carried around Old Testament scrolls, and that served as their Bible. And the book of Psalms was their Songs of the Kingdom book. That was their song book. And so we're going to try to look and get down to really understanding the spirit of the Psalms and the ideas that come out of God's Word in this place. Let's look in Psalm 66. We'll begin reading here in verse 1. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing praise to Your name. The spirit of this psalm here, the idea that I want us to consider here in this first thought is, have we done everything we can do to make His praise glorious? If it all depended on you, if everybody worshiped God just like you worship God, would His praise be glorious? His praise be glorious, or would it be kind of How would it be? If you were the one, if you were the model disciple in this area right now with how you behave during worship, would people say that truly as they watch me, we make his praise glorious? We have to ask that question about our lives and see what we're doing. Let's look at these ideas in these different psalms. And I want to share with you a number of words that characterize this, but I think most of these will come out to you. I'm just going to kind of read right through these verses that are up there on the screen for you. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Verse 6, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the peoples, among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Verse 9, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Psalm 98, verse 7. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the earth, for he comes, before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. And we could go on and on reading the book of Psalms, because it's the same stuff over and over and over again. And again, I want us to consider the spirit of some of these words. Let's look at some of these words that are up there that we can't read. All right, sing for joy, shout aloud, tremble before him, sing a new song, praise his name, proclaim his salvation, ascribe his glory, shout for joy, declare his glory, come with thanksgiving, bow down in worship, extol with music and song, worship in the splendor of his holiness. I mean, we're given a lot of direction there. And we're going to talk a little bit later about worshiping energetically, but I think we can't escape the idea there. Two things that we know for sure about worship, if we do any kind of study of the word, is that worship is always this way. It's always vertical. And secondly, worship always requires action on the part of the worshiper. You see, it's not okay for Chris to sit here and take up all this. Chris is a big guy. You know, he's like 6'12" or something. It's not okay for him to just sit here and occupy pew space on Sundays. He needs to expend some energy. He needs to burn some calories. He needs to extol the Lord. He needs to have, you know, I mean, really, you know, we don't really need to work out on Sundays, because if we're doing what we need to be doing in worship, we are burning some calories. We're moving around a bit. And we'll talk about some of the ways we do that in just a minute. But all of these words here, these are all high-energy words. They're words that demand action. They're words that get our heart pumping a little bit faster, that get our metabolism burning a little bit more. They're words that are words that demand that we come ready to give. It's not okay just to stand in there. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers. We can't do that. We can. You know, you want to be a big stump on a log. That's fine, I suppose. But don't pretend you're worshiping God. Worshiping God requires our engagement. It requires our mental concentration. We praise with our lips, but we also praise with our mind. We praise with our voice. We praise with our diaphragm. It comes up from the end of our ugly man toes or our pretty woman toes, and it comes all the way up, and it comes out powerfully because we are giving ourselves energetically and vigorously out of reverence and admiration and awe of our great God in heaven. That's what we need to do. Let's talk about this thing a minute. Lifting up of hands. You can read down there Psalm 63, verse 4. You know, the Bible says, lift your hands in worship to God there in Psalm 63. A lot of times, we have an attitude about this. I'll share a quick story with you. When I was studying the Bible way back in 1976, I was a freshman at the University of Florida, and I became a Christian when I was 19. And when I was studying the Bible, I wasn't raised in a church. I was a pagan. I was a drug dealing, pot smoking, hippie type guy, and so I was really interested when I got turned on to Christianity. I thought, okay, let's find out what's out there. And so I visited the Methodist Church, and I visited the Catholic Church, and I visited the Baptist Church, and went to this little Pentecostal group one night, and they were lifting hands in worship, and they were doing the various things. They were crying out to God like that young fellow. And they were lifting, you know, and that was all fine. I was taking it all in and understanding it. And then the leader wanted to set up a study with me. And so he took me outside, and I thought we were going to go have an intimate talk, you know, in Jesus. And he took me out there. But it turned out the reason he wanted to go outside was that he wanted to smoke, and he didn't want to smoke inside. So you have the Bible study leader who goes out, flips out a pack of cigarettes, throws one in his mouth, lights up. I thought, well, this guy's not a Christian. And so I said, okay, people who lift hands up, smoke cigarettes, and are not Christians. You know, that seemed logical to me at the time, you know. And the people that sing without instruments and don't smoke cigarettes, they must be the real Christians. And so we make these associations. But I started thinking about this whole lifting the hands thing, and I thought, well, really, does the Bible really teach that? I mean, really. I mean, show me some verses, will you? And the only reason we had to stop here is I didn't want to crowd that poor girl out of the picture. I mean, there's lots of verses about lifting hands to God. Now, what does it mean? Why would we do that? Is it just a traditional thing? Is it just a denominational thing? Well, these fellows are lifting their hands up, and you could probably argue whether or not they're worshiping or not. I'm sure they're praying at this point. These are Nazi soldiers at the end of World War I. And what does that mean? What are they doing?
Surrendering.
They're surrendering. Right? And so that's one reason we lift our hands. It is a sign of surrender. It's a sign of, hey, I raise the white flag, Lord. You're God. I'm not. I'm going to do it your way. And so here I am, you know. And so we lift hands to God. And you do it from a very early age. This is actually a baby picture of Ken Long back when he was a small Asian child. All creation lifts hands to God. And we need to, you know, we need to imitate the little baby penguins here. You can do this all by yourself on a beachfront, or you can do it in a big crowd of people worshiping God. What are we doing when we lift hands? I think the best explanation, all of you who are parents and have had young children will appreciate this. The best thought is that we are little children reaching up to our God saying, help me out, Lord. Hold me. Comfort me. Be with me. Help me.
Come on.
And we've got to be that kind of people. You see, this is not the denominations don't have the monopoly on this practice. The Bible owns the copyright. And so we need to be willing to, now, that might not help you to be connecting. We're going to talk about connecting to God in our next point. This might not help you connect to God, and it's okay if you don't do it. It's not like God says, hey, raise your hands or I'll smite you or something like that. But I'll tell you what's not okay. It's not okay for you to be sitting back here in the back, and when your sister there lifts her hands up, get them up there higher, nice and high. When your sister lifts her hands up, you're sitting there thinking, oh, sister so-and-so, being all emotional and such. You know, what's her problem? You know, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with that girl? You know, she must be weak spiritually because she's got to rely on that kind of, that's not okay. Good chance sister so-and-so is a lot stronger than you spiritually, and she's more connective than you are. And so it's okay not to engage this way, but it's not okay to look down on those who do. We need to feel a sense of freedom in our worship times. We need to feel a sense of, oh, wow, I'm here. I can throw off the world from the week I've had and the way the world's beat me to a bloody pulp, and I can enjoy being with the Lord and stretching out my hands to Him and glorifying His great name, because the Bible, the Word of God, gives me that permission, gives me that encouragement, gives me even that direction. And so I can enjoy it because God said it, and I can enjoy it. What about this one? The Bible talks about this. Psalm 153 and 4, praise Him with dancing. Wow! What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. And I know this is really challenging for those Caucasians in the audience. You know, we're a little, I realize that we're a little bit retarded for at least the guys. The girls usually do an okay job. But the guys, you know, a lot of us have two left feet. And you know what country line dancing is? That is a vain attempt to help white people learn to dance. That's what that is. So what they do is they say, okay, left foot behind the right. Right foot, one, two, three, and let's go the other way. One, two, three, four. Okay, back. One, two, three, four, down, you know, and that's how they teach us to dance. That's how they teach, that's the shuffle, right? Or something, I don't know, I don't remember which one. It's the electric slide, yeah, it's the electric slide. So, yeah. So I don't know, maybe some of you girls who are good at choreography, maybe you need to come up with a little Kingdom Shuffle idea for us. You know, you got to kind of work within the pews because we are a little constrained, but you know, there's got to be something we can do so that we can praise his name with dancing. Burn a little calories. Let's get out of ourselves and get out of our comfort zones and do the things that God wants us to do in order to truly worship him biblically. And really embrace all the Bible has to say about worshiping God biblically. At this point, we're going to sing a couple of more songs. I want to really encourage us all as we move from scripture to song. I want to really encourage us to work at being connected. Focus on the lyrics, sing with all of our hearts, and enjoy what God has for us.
Above all powers, above all kings,
come on, guys.
Above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began.
Everyone.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Let's go.
Laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above,
ladies,
above all. Above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began.
Let's have the ladies keep singing.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground, you took the fall
part of me. Above all.
Let's do that again. Here we go.
Crucified, laid behind the stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone. Like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above.
How many of you know Shout to the Lord?
Jesus, I
Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Burst into jubilant song with music.
Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing.
Shout for joy before the Lord, the King.
Let the sea resound and everything in it.
The world and all who live in it.
Let the rivers clap their hands.
Let the mountains sing together for joy. Praise the Lord.
Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens.
Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness.
Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre.
Praise him with tambourines and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute.
Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals.
Let everything that has breath
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We sing your praises loud. Sing them to the stumbling crowd. Sing of Jesus and his word. Sing until the earth has heard.
Worshiping God deliberately. You know, one of the things that I focused on over this last couple of days with the worship teams that came from various spots is that they have a job to do when they come in on Sunday morning. And that job is, of course, their job actually starts on Monday morning or Sunday afternoon as they live a life of worship. Because what we're asking them to be is not song leaders, not guys just get up and waving their hand. That's not what we're asking. We're asking them to be guides. And their job is to guide you into the Holy of Holies.
Come on.
Their job is to take you on a journey on Sunday morning. And they want to take you from whatever the world, whatever state the world has left you in. And they want to take you from that state, whatever, wherever you find yourself when you come in here on Sunday morning. And they want to bring you to a different level. They want to take you to a new place. And so their job is to lead very deliberately. And so our job out here is that we worship deliberately. What is the aim of your worship? What are you trying to do with your worship? Where are you going with your worship? Let's turn. You actually don't need to turn there. Just read it up there. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? That little phrase, seated us with him, my smart friends tell me, is in the indicative aorist tense. That means that this is a past action, fully completed, that has happened at a specific point in time. Okay, so what does that say? Let's go back here. What does that say? That means that right now, you are not sitting in a little church building in Wichita. Amen. That means that you're actually seated in the heavenly realms.
Come on.
And when you go get in your little beater Toyota, you're not sitting on a deteriorating piece of vinyl. You are seated in the heavenly realms. And when you go back to your classroom and you're sitting on the third row of that chemistry class that you just don't like very much, you're actually not seated there. You're actually seated in the heavenly realms.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you always feel like you're in the heavenly realms? I don't. I don't. Sometimes I feel like I'm on the other end, you know. I feel like I'm in the middle of the flames because life gets hard and the world intrudes and we re-enter the matrix. We have a problem. We go where we don't want to go. We take the blue pill, you know, and we find ourselves back where we want to, where we don't want to be, or the pink one, or whichever one sends us back the way we came. And so we have a problem. Our problem is that our brains do not fully accept and believe and embrace our spiritual reality. See, spiritually, we're in the heavenly realms. Spiritually, God is omnipresent and omniscient. He's everywhere all the time. He knows every thought at every moment. He knows every word on every tongue before a word is said. He knows every soul in every home, on every street, in every neighborhood, in every town, in every city, in every state, in every nation, on the whole cotton-picking planet. He knows all of us at the same time, all 6.875 billion people. And yet we walk around as if he's on vacation. He's out in the cosmos taking care of the stars, lassoing the galaxies, and he doesn't really have time to deal with my stuff, to deal with the stuff of my life. And that's not true. The fact is, we are in the heavenly realms. The fact is, we are with the Lord right now, right here. And when you leave and drive back to Lawrence, Kansas, you're going to be with the Lord all the way. And he's going to be waiting for you when you get there. Actually, he's riding with you. We are with him in the heavenly realms. We're enjoying that status with God. And so how do we get hold of this? Well, one way we get hold of it is right here in Psalm 100, where he says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and praise his name. Worship is the front door. Worship is the big pearly gate that we walk through to get to God. Worship is the space shuttle that we board. It's the transporter room. It's whatever image you like, whatever you're into. You're a Star Trek guy, then it's the transporter room. If you know, worship, you know, puts you into hyperspace and gets you there right now. And that's what we enjoy in worship. But oftentimes we don't think that way. We come in and we sing songs. And we might be singing songs about how joyful we ought to be, but we haven't notified our face, and our face looks really grumpy. And we say, well, I'm joyful in my heart. No, you're not. Because your countenance reflects your heart.
Come on.
And oftentimes what our problem is, we don't engage. We don't really sing the songs the way they're going to lead us into the presence of God. We'll do a song a little bit later, the song Breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. It's a vertical song. It's a prayer song. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. And then we repeat that a few times because, you know, sometimes we're a little dull. And we need a little spaced repetition to get us where we need to be. Worship deliberately. You see, I believe that when we show up on Sundays or wherever, whenever we worship, it may be a midweek gathering, it may be a Friday devotional, it may be a Bible talk. When we show up with other Christians where two or three are gathered, there he is among us. And when we show up, we need to have a sense of expectancy. We need to step into that room saying, this is pretty cool. I get to be with God today.
All right, come on. Amen.
I get to be with the Lord later on. This is going to be great. You know, I'm excited. I fly back home tonight. I haven't seen my wife and my youngest daughter in a few days, and I love them so much. And I'm excited. Kathy's going to pick me up at the airport, and we're going to go out to dinner together. I'm excited. There's a feeling of expectancy. I get to hang out with my wife, my best friend. That's going to be great.
Amen.
Well, how much more when we come and we get to hang out with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can ever see, to whom be glory and honor forever and ever. How much more awesome is that? It's a lot more awesome. And my wife is really awesome. But that's even more awesome. It's even greater. It's incredible. You see, there needs to be a sense of expectancy. I need to step into this room on Sunday mornings, or whatever room you step into on Sunday mornings, and I need to say, you know, I know that today I am going to have a connection. I'm going to encounter God Almighty.
Yes, that's right.
And he's going to speak to me through his word, and I'm going to commune around his table, and I'm going to sing songs that connect me to him, and I'm going to pray prayers where I enter into that special holy place. I'm going to be just that close to the Lord. Amen. We're going to do a little series of things here for the next few minutes. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to enjoy some scripture readings. We're going to say a prayer. And these things are all going to lead us into the presence of God. Another thing that the Psalms tell us is that we need to be still and know that he's God. And so I want to encourage us for the next few minutes. We're just going to have a period of silence. And I want to encourage us just to kind of take a deep breath, or take five deep breaths, and calm our spirits. And envision something that helps you connect with God. And just enjoy a couple of minutes of silence as we move into our next song, our next thought.
Holy Father, grant us peace. side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is looking at me. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Imagine, oh, I can only imagine.
I can only imagine all creation bow down, the whole universe. Broken lives resurrected in the healing light. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Oh, oh, oh,
oh. I can only imagine. By forgiveness, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Up to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by forgiveness, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Up to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be I can only imagine.
I can only imagine.
Oh, just imagine.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearer shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich, and in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Thank you. you. I'm lost without you.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much that you breathe your spiritual life into us. God, without you, we are nothing. God, we thank you so much that you allow us to come into your presence. God, we thank you so much that you have provided us with so many ways in your wisdom to remember you. Father, as we take communion together, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to open our hearts wide to you, that you'd remember all that you've done for us, that we can somehow, that you'd guide us, Lord, to take a glimpse once again at who Jesus is, how he lived his life for us, and ultimately how he died for us. God, help us to just draw near to you right now. Father, we come to you knowing that we fall short of being worthy, but through the blood of the Lamb, through Jesus, you make it possible. We thank you so much for that. God, we just ask you, we ask you please to help us to know you better, to understand you better. God, right now, most of all, to just be able to feel that perfect peace of being right with you. Lord, as we take these emblems, we thank you so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for us and that you raised him to life that we can have hope. We pray in the name of him as our Savior and as our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
Let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 89. One more thought before we close things out here today. There's so much power when we come into His presence. And the Bible says over in Psalm 89, in verse 15, it says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim Him, who walk in the light of His presence. They exult in His name all day long." I don't know how many of you are prone to the blues, but, you know, things happen. Stuff happens in life. And sometimes, I was sharing with the group last night, I come from a long line of manic depressives. Bipolar syndrome runs in my family, pretty extreme. My grandfather committed suicide in a manic fit. My dad died in a manic fit. My uncle was manic depressive. Other family members have struggled with that sort of mental illness. And when I was in my 30s, I had a few bouts, a few run-ins with just real, you know, I'd wake up in the morning and just feel like, wow, what's wrong with me? I shouldn't be, but I'm depressed. Life's not going that bad, but I'm just down. I'm a mess. And the thing that I found, and let me just preface this by saying that clinical depression is a huge problem. It's a legitimate physical, chemical thing, and if you are diagnosed in that way, I'm not suggesting anything other than your doctor has told you. But if you're just a person that gets the blues a lot, then I want to suggest to you that if you learn on a daily basis to worship God, to praise Him with a loud voice, that's what that word in Psalm 89, verse 15, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim Him." That Hebrew word means to praise God raucously, loudly, violently almost. It's the idea of tons of energy being expended in our worship and praise of God. If we learn how to do that, if we learn how to praise God in a loud voice, if we learn how to go to God on a daily basis and to give Him the honor and the glory that He deserves, then honestly, a lot of those blues are just going to vanish. Because you know what happens with me? It takes me about 15 minutes in the morning. If I wake up with a dark cloud, I figure I'll be fine in 15 minutes. Because all I got to do is get in touch with God. I got to get in touch with the fact that I'm spending eternity in heaven. And I'm blessed above most of you because I'm well over halfway there. And so I'm getting there before you unless the Lord comes back earlier than we think He will. But, you know, it's going to be good. It's going to be all good there. And so when we learn to acclaim Him, truly, we are happy with a happiness that has nothing to do with circumstance. Let's talk about this last thought. We need to worship God energetically. There's so many verses that we could use to talk about this. One I think of is over in Job 38, in verse 47. "Where were you," God says, "when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know." And he's going on, he's talking to Job, and he's kind of working with Job, getting Job's heart right. And he says, "On what were its footing set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy." You see, before the earth was ever created, beings were energetically worshiping the Lord. Before there was ever an earth, before the trees would start clapping their hands, all of creation, the angels themselves, were bowing down in a mighty chorus of praise and adoration to God. And it's a good thing. You know, we're kind of funny about this. We accept enthusiasm as a part of life, right? I mean, how did you feel when that first baby was born? Wow, what a miracle. And you were enthusiastic. And you were excited about poop. That's how excited you were about this baby being born. Now, we get over that part pretty quick, but nonetheless, we are so excited about a baby being born. We're excited when our kid wins roller derby. Or when our kid scores a goal in soccer, or we jump up and down and we act like Dumbos on the sideline, because we're enthusiastic and we're emotional. And nobody sits there and says, you see that guy? He's being so emotional about his silly kid scoring a goal in soccer. What is wrong with him? Is he weak or something? And yet we come to the Lord, we come to Christianity, and we somehow think that it's not okay to exercise a little emotion. It's not okay to demonstrate a little bit of passion in our emotion toward God. I want you to fast forward with me a few weeks. The date is April 5th, 2010. We are all together with 17,000 of our best friends in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Lucas Oil Stadium to determine the national champion of college basketball. Uh-oh. March Madness has run its course. And it all comes down to this. We've whittled it down to two teams. The Orange Men of Syracuse, led by 6'7" forward Wesley Johnson, and the Jayhawks of Kansas, led by super guard Sharon Collins. Syracuse is up. There's 5 seconds left. Kansas is inbounding at midcourt. Collins gets the ball. He fakes left, fakes right, dribbles, spins, shakes free, jumps, he shoots, he scores! And the Jayhawks win 58-57. Wow! It's incredible! It's amazing! What are you doing at this point? What are you sitting there cross-legged, drinking your tea. That was an effective inbounds pass. I thought the spin move demonstrated an exceptional amount of aplomb. And of course, the shot was effective. It went in, and they won. And okay, very good. Now, let's go on out and enjoy time with the kids. Okay. Is there any Jayhawk who's going to be that dead? You are going to be going nuts. Because that's your team, man. That's Kansas. That's the Jayhawks. That's my group. Those are my guys. I'm an alumnus. That's awesome. I tell you what. When the Gators won it a couple. I'm a Florida alumnus. When the Gators won it a couple years in a row, I guarantee you, I was not sitting there calm. I was going nuts. I was coaching from 1,000 miles away. What are you doing? How do you like that guy? Come on, go. You know. I mean, I was so enthusiastic. But you know, it's okay to be enthusiastic. God has made us to be enthusiastic, and it's also okay to be enthusiastic and to be emotional and to burn some energy in worship. I mean, let me just say, I know Kansas is awesome. Let me just say, God versus Kansas.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, Kansas.
Heaven versus the national championship. Come on. Come on, let's be realistic. See, the women understand this better than the men. The men are still working it out mathematically, but the women, you know, you're with me. In the book of Revelation, I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000, they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." There's such enthusiasm in heaven. Read Revelation 4. Read Revelation 5. Read Revelation 19. There's such enthusiasm in heaven. Read the end of Job. Read the Bible. Read the book of Psalms. Let's restore biblical worship. Let's come expectantly. Let's come deliberately. Let's do it biblically. Let's do it enthusiastically. Let's be so incredibly energetic about our praise and worship that people say, "Wow, I'm not sure if I totally agree, but they sure believe it." And they love it. And they pour themselves out during it. Because that's what God would have us do. That's the spirit of the Psalms. That's the spirit of biblical worship. And as disciples of Jesus, we need to embrace that spirit. Amen. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me.
Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
Let's go. Here we go.
My life to follow everything I believe in, and now I surrender.
I surrender. Here we go.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. The glory of the risen King.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Let's go.
Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Go ahead and be seated. Go ahead, everyone, be seated. Dave Eastman, thank you. You know, that's cute. That's very timely because, as you know and I know, it's no show. It's really us worshiping the Lord. And I think that's great that, you know, we get a little da-da-da because we know that it isn't a performance. We know that we are here to worship God. And personally for me, I was up here, and when we got to the song Breathe, I just about lost it. You know, I'm like, what chord am I on my art? You know? And you know what? But it didn't matter because I was singing to the Lord, my Father in heaven. And I hope you were feeling that way too. I hope you all were feeling that way. I hope that, and I know, that those that came to this entire weekend are going to come home and you just wait. The phone calls are going to start, the follow-up meetings, the discussions. Hey, James Schultz, you know, I need to talk to you. Can we get together? We got some ideas for a worship ministry now. You know, Darren Turner, you know, hey, Ken, I know you were here. You know, let's talk. And I'm just so excited. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with you all. As you work hard to get over those hurdles to the next level in our worship with God. And I like that analogy because in a lot of ways, you know, we look at ourselves, we look at what Dave had to share, the scriptures that were shown to us. I don't know about you, I feel like I'm just about stretching over hurdle one here. And I'm looking, but I can see the end. I can see the finish line. And I realize that those hurdles, things are happening. You know, I was sharing with our band that as we are struggling to get better as musicians, to play skillfully, you know, to quote a First Chronicle scripture, and then to work on our relationships, it's not easy. It's like we're a family group, and we have our relationship issues, and we have to work together, and we have to love each other and be patient. But you know what? We're growing, right. And we're influencing people. Amen. And I'm not going to take up a sermon telling you how, but I would love to. Come on up. Yeah, at this time, we're going to take our contribution. This is my lovely wife, Elizabeth Hoyle.
I just wanted to say before we took contribution, there are a few people that really helped me out a lot. And for the registration, Marty.
Mm-hmm. Marty Bush.
Marty Bush did the registration. And Kent Kirshen did the housing.
Back here, our drummer.
Yeah. Awesome. And my helpful dishwasher was Emily Sampson.
Yeah.
And also, all the parents, I had a couple parents like Miss Swanson. Is she in here?
You know who you are.
She helped a ton with the kids, really picking up the slack. And I really appreciate her effort and heart because she helped me a ton. So, anyway.
Amen. I appreciate my wife because, you know, I'm the guy up on the front of the stage, and she's always the one that gives me feedback to make our worship ministry great. She's invaluable. Just an invaluable asset to what we do. You don't have to be up front to be a valuable asset to what's happening. This time we're going to bow our heads and we'll take our contribution up, and then we will, while we're doing that, I'll have a few closing announcements. Heavenly Father, it's so, so great to be your children and to have a chance to give of our wealth. We're such a wealthy country. Lord God, I pray that our worship to you and the way we give is exemplified now. Please take it, Father. Take it and make it work as you always do in ways we can't imagine. I pray, Father, for the Tulsa Church. I ask you, Lord, to bless them as they continue to work on their worship, on their outreach as a church, and as Darren is leading them. Father, I pray for James and the church in Oklahoma City that you would please guide them and continue to help them as they and the worship leaders go back to make plans. Holy Father, please be with Thad and his wife Cynthia as they go back to talk to Jeremy and the Springfield, Missouri Church, that they will just be enlightened and have great vision. And Father, thank you for Ken Long and the rest that came from Lawrence, home of the Jayhawks, amen. Father, I pray that this event for Ken and for the rest of the team there continues to just gel in ideas and thoughts. Bless them, Father. Bless them as they give. And Father, thank you for the brothers from Nebraska that came down. Bless them, God. Bless Greg Moretzky up there as their church continues to work with their band, continues to expand in their music repertoire, and more importantly, as they continue to be enlightened in worship. Thank you for this chance to give. We give to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I just wanted to thank Dave Eastman for coming out and leading us in worship. And he's everything that Mark and Beth have said that he was going to be and more. You know, guys, I want to thank the churches for coming out, the church leaders that have come out, all of the people that have helped in this time of us being together. We just had some great talks with people. It's been an incredible time, and I want to present to you a possible annual worship renewal type conference. Let's be thinking about that. Amen. You know, I wanted to just respond real quick just for the weekend. And what I'm grateful for. And I think one of the things, looking at all the Psalms and seeing the psalmist write in, and their focus was on God. You know, when we worship, we are looking to God. And, you know, I'm reminded of when we're looking to God, the things that we come in here with, the things that are on our hearts, the issues and the attitudes, the economy and all those different things can't measure up to the grandness of God. And it was an incredible time to be able to do that. And I'm super grateful, and I pray that in our lives we're able to take that 15 minutes. Sometimes we need to take another 15 minutes and another 15 minutes and another 15 minutes. But to really strive to see God And you know, as we've done that this weekend, I've seen the issues that are going on, the heartaches, the hurts get smaller and God get bigger. And that's an encouragement. Thank you, Dave, for allowing us to be able to experience that with you. You know, when I was in college and I played my last game, the coach gave me this gold card. It was a gold card. But he gave it to me and he said, you know, anytime that you want to come here and you want to see a game, you're in the Hall of Fame, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. And he gave me this thing and I lost it. But I wanted to give this to Mark, to Beth, to the band, to the singers, to the sound crew, to everybody that helped out in making this a great weekend. And we're going to put together a dinner to honor you guys for bringing us, leading us to God and giving us something that we can hold on forever. It's been an incredible time, and we want to give you a standing ovation. And thank you, Beth. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, band. Thank you, sound crew. Thank you, sound crew in the back room there, and the teachers and all, everybody. Thank you.
I want to encourage you to have a great Sunday. I have a quick announcement here. The Oklahoma City Church has a salsa clinic. And Wally, can you tell me?
March
27th. Okay, so come see Wally about it. And brothers and sisters, that will do it for today. Have a great Sunday. Have a safe drive home. Amen.